You will look with me to the outline that we have tonight for tonight's lesson, which we'll be looking and studying 2 Timothy chapter 4, and one of the important chapters of the Bible. As mentioned in the introduction to this lesson, there were two letters that were written to this young man, this fairly young gospel preacher by the name of Timothy. Timothy became a Christian, likely due to Paul's teaching on his first missionary journey, but could have been others to teach him. His mother and his grandmother versed him fairly well in the Old Testament scriptures. And on Paul's second journey in the area of Lystra and Iconium, he picked up Timothy, and Timothy continued with him on that particular journey. But it seems that Timothy and Titus, among others, were those that Paul looked to as the guardians of the gospel, so to speak, after his demise, after Paul was no longer around. And as I was looking through the book of First and Second Timothy, found a lot of exhorting to study the word, study sound words, study sound doctrine, giving him the purpose of Scripture, teaching him to be an example, teaching him to preach the word. What would you think was going on that would cause Paul to emphasize these particular areas? Well, it would appear that even at this time, which is likely only about 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, that the church was having problems with false teachers. The church was having problem with not knowing what sound doctrine was, with not knowing what wholesome words were. They were having problem with adhering to the truth. And you would think, well, you know, this young man Timothy had been taught by Paul. He was directed by the Holy Spirit in his teaching. And yet he had to be encouraged again and again and again in these writings to stay with sound words, to preach the truth, to preach the word, to study, to show himself approved unto God, to give diligence. And yet the admonition that we find, I think, in 1 Timothy 4, where Paul said that he needed to be careful that he not allow others to despise his youth. So there would be those who would look down on Timothy, perhaps because of his age, perhaps because of other things. But Paul especially wanted him to be on guard. And look at 2 Timothy 3:15. Study or give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And again, go back to 1 Timothy, because this is a theme throughout both books. 3 of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. So Timothy was left there by Paul after Paul had left Ephesus. And he said, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now he's at Ephesus, where Paul spent 3 years preaching the gospel, where Paul encouraged the elders in Acts chapter 20 to be on watch, to be on guard. So this congregation at Ephesus was properly organized, had been taught by one of the apostles, by the apostle Paul, and had been taught by Timothy. And yet, Timothy was encouraged to watch himself, watch out for those who would teach other than sound doctrine. If you remember, when Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, that was one of the problems they were having. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel. He talked about them having perverted the gospel. So this has been a problem of all ages, for all times. It's not just a problem today. It was not just a problem in the early or latter part of 1800s or 1900s and early part of the 20th century. This has been a problem throughout history. I'm sure as long as there's been God's Word to preach from the first century on, there have been those who sought to distort it. So we always have to be on guard. And I think if this was a message that had great importance to Timothy in the early goings of the church, then of course it would have great importance to us today, that we'd be on guard and to watch out for those who would not teach sound doctrine. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Well, let's look, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So he said, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. They already knew these things. But, you know, we need to be reminded. I have to be reminded. When our kids were growing up, we always reminded them, well, it's being as children of God. We have to be reminded. Again and again, God's chosen people, the Israelites, had to be reminded by the prophets that spoke to them, that were chosen to speak on behalf of God to them, to chastise them, to encourage them. So again and again, we've seen that though we are God's people, that we need to be on guard. Whether we are a young gospel preacher like Timothy was, or an older gospel preacher like Paul was. Look at the same fourth chapter, 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to your teaching, to the truth, to the word, to the gospel. In the sixth chapter, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, that's sound doctrine, something that's wholesome, healthy, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So the words of Christ are mentioned here. The doctrine that Paul had preached to Timothy is mentioned in a number of places. Look at 2 Timothy now, verse 13 of chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I taught you. We went over again and again the gospel that was to be preached. Hold fast to it. Stand tight in it. Be steadfast in that preaching and teaching. Another thing, I don't think I have it on the outline, but look down at chapter 2, verse 2. There was another feature to preaching the gospel here that he wanted Timothy to take into account. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he was already preparing Timothy, let's call him Tim, preparing Timothy to prepare those who would follow him. So after Timothy concluded his life, after he was had come to the point of being unable to preach and to teach, there should be others who were adequately taught that could continue that on. Also look at chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they... That doesn't look like a good verse. 3:10. Wrong chapter. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. That is what Paul had taught him. My manner of life, the way he had lived, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Then he goes, into persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, because he was from Lystra, as I recall Timothy was. So he talked about the persecution that he endured. Then he went on to say that he would endure persecution. But the key thing I wanted to point to there is first part of verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. the doctrine. Now, it wasn't really that which was only Paul's, but it was that which he taught to Timothy and to others. Look down at verse 14 of that same chapter. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He'd learned many things from Paul, but then Paul goes on to say that from a child you've known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise into salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And earlier he had told Timothy, had said to Timothy that he had learned a lot of this scripture from his grandmother Lois and from his mother Eunice. Purpose of all scripture gives here in 2 Timothy 3:16. So Timothy is supposed to keep in mind that scripture that he knows from the Old Testament that it has several purposes. He said all scripture, by the way, Timothy, is inspired of God. Don't think of one scripture as being any less important than another. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable. It is profitable. Now, there may be sometimes, Timothy, when you're preaching and people won't think that it's profitable. And we'll get into that in the fourth chapter. But he says it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, or completely equipped unto all good works. Now let's look at chapter 4. On our outline, well, as we go into the back to 1 Timothy 4:12, I mentioned this before, be an example to believers, and in the primary subject taught in the 2 Timothy 4 is to preach the word. Okay, and looking at our outline, the five basic points, preach the word, verses 1 through 5. The assurance that Paul has in the face of impending death. It would appear, and I think there have been commentators who would agree, others might not agree, that Paul is preaching and is writing this letter from prison, and it's thought to be a second imprisonment in Rome. If you recall in our study of Acts on Wednesday evenings, we find that Paul was in his own hired house, and it appeared that he was allowed to teach people and have people in at all times, and doesn't seem like he was put under a whole lot of pressure. And as time goes on, if we read to chapter 4, we find that it doesn't appear to describe what was going on in Paul's first imprisonment, as indicated in Acts chapter 28. We'll look at that, and you can decide that for yourself. Let's look at those five verses. I charge thee, therefore, before God. This is something like a general setting forth a charge or giving the orders to those who are under him. I charge thee therefore before God, calling God as witness, calling Jesus as witness, before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says something about them, who shall judge the quick, the dead, the living, the dead, at his appearing of Christ and his kingdom. He said that charge, and the charge is, preach the word. Preach the word. Well, what was Timothy going to teach if he didn't teach the word? Well, he could almost pick and choose like he can today. People, gospel preachers, they call themselves gospel preachers, are preaching many things other than the word. And they had no difficulty with it. So Paul said, in the midst of these people who have false teaching, who are coming in trying to snatch people away with this particular message or that particular message, whether it be these Judaizing teachers trying to get them to the Christians to, especially the Gentile Christians, to be circumcised and to adhere to other matters of the law of Moses. He said, "You be careful. Don't go off onto some tangent and start preaching and teaching and adhering to other people's words. You preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. There'll be times when it will appear that maybe you ought not talk about a certain subject, or it might not be that you think there's a need for it, that there's an application. But you know, there's always a need for God's word." And a lot of times, I don't decide to speak on a certain subject because I think everybody in the audience is guilty of a particular sin. A lot of times we'll preach and teach and talk about something in a Bible class especially, and you take that thing to heart because you know something that nobody else does. You know that this is what I need to encourage me. This is what I need to steer me away from looking in that direction or that direction. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He said, again, the purpose of scriptures is to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So he was to do this. If he were talking to people, he discovered people who were not adhering to the gospel. They needed to be corrected. They needed to be exhorted. But he needed to take heed that he do it with patience. That he did do it and not just jumping in for where angels fear to tread, as we've heard. You do it with long suffering and make sure that you have something to back it up. Make sure it's not just Timothy's opinion that you are seeking to place on other people. Now, why does he suggest that Timothy is to preach the word, be instant in season, these other things in this verse? Well, the why of it is in verse 3. The time will come. Time will come when people won't listen to what you got to say. They will not endure the sound doctrine that I preach to you, Timothy said. Paul says to him. They will not endure, they will not adhere to, they will not be steadfast, they will not listen to the sound, the wholesome doctrine that will build them up. They will not listen to the gospel. They will not listen to the word of God. But after their own lust, in other words, based upon what they want themselves, they shall heed to themselves. They shall choose those teachers that will cure their itching ears. And what will be the result? They shall turn away their ears from the truth. So, Timothy, you've got to preach the truth. There are going to be a lot of people out there teaching something else. You're going to have to preach the truth. You're going to have to rebuke. You have to be strong. You're going to have to take a steady stand. You're going to have to keep with it. Keep on keeping on. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to all kinds of tales. But you watch. You watch in all things. You be steady or be level-headed. Remember back in, especially in the Old Testament, sometimes in the New Testament, they had these watchtowers on the walls of a city that they would look out and see trouble coming in a distance. And he said, told Timothy, verse 5, to watch. Watch in all things. Timothy, you're going to have those who will bring problems upon you. You're going to have to endure it. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to need to continue to do the work of an evangelist. You're going to have to continue to preach the word. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, he's going to bring this home a little bit better by saying this to Timothy. Paul is saying, you know, Timothy, I'm not going to be around always. In fact, my time is getting short. I am now ready to be offered. So we're down in verses 6 through 8 where Paul is talking about the facing death. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. So I don't know whether God has appeared to Paul and said, you know, you're going to be executed soon. It's perhaps just him looking at how things are going, and that's what he's anticipating. I fought a good fight. He says, as I look back upon my life, I have done what I could do. I've done what I was commissioned to do. I've finished my course. I've finished my ministry. I've done those things that God laid out for me in teaching the Gentiles and in also passing the message along to others who can continue this teaching. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says, these very things that I'm encouraging you to do, you can look at my life and see that I did those. that I was strong, that I was there as an example for you. And you know, you like to have that example, because sometimes it's difficult to hear somebody say, well, no, this is what you need to do, especially if we're talking to younger people. Well, how do I know that that's what to do? Well, just look at the life of the one that's speaking to you. Has following that line of reasoning been good for them? Have they stayed close to Christ and close to God's Word by following their own instructions? He says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. And he says, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He's ready, and he says that I have assurance, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing, to all those who will look for the coming of Christ. Now down in verses 9 through 15, Paul has some urgent requests for Timothy. He wants Timothy to come see him. Paul seems to be not totally by himself, but getting awful lonely. He must have been extremely close to this young man. Mentioning Timothy's mother's name, mentioning Timothy's grandmother's name, I could just see that he had been by their house at times. He had met these women. He knew this family. And he was close to this young man. And he knew that whenever he did die, that this was something also that was going to hit Timothy hard. He had told Timothy to endure affliction. But as soon as Paul is executed, if that's what happened, as soon as he's killed because of his teaching the gospel, Timothy's going to have something else to deal with. I'll endure the suffering. I'll endure the affliction. But Timothy, I want you also to be faithful unto death, to endure unto death. Because he could see by what's happening to Paul that it could likely happen to him. Do thy diligence to come to me, come shortly unto me. Paul is thought to be in Rome. Timothy is in Ephesus. not too far a trip, but he wants him to what we call shake a leg. He wants him to get with it and come to him. He said, you know, some of the things that's been going on with me, Demas, my faithful friend Demas, has forsaken me. Demas has gone back into his worldly ways. He's gone back into his former life. He loves the present world, and he's gone into Thessalonica. Well, at this time, based on what Paul is going to say as we read along the latter part of this chapter, not too many people are staying close to Paul, because if you were associated with Paul, just like at the time Jesus was being captured in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked them to let his people go, his followers leave, and they got out of the picture, because if they were associates, they might face the same death, the same end at that same time. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, departed to Thessalonica. Then he mentions some others, Cretans to Galatia, Titus and to Dalmatia. Titus, of course, he wrote a book to. Only Luke is with me, the physician. Now we'll see as time goes on and we read further that there are others who are associated with it. Probably not as close to him as Luke. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Now this is John Mark, the John Mark that Paul had problems with on the first missionary journey. Barnabas, Paul, and Mark were on that journey. And Mark said, you know, I'm homesick. I want to go back home. Whatever reason he wanted to get back home. On the next missionary journey, we find that Barnabas uses Mark and goes out on his journey. We find by now that Paul and John Mark have somehow resolved their problems. And John Mark, he says, bring him, for he's profitable for me. So here was one that didn't appear to be one who would be profitable to Paul, but now is. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. That's where Timothy is. Tychicus, it's been conjectured, but likely he's to take Timothy's place. When Timothy leaves, to try to make it to Rome by winter. The cloak, it's spelled C-L-O-K-E in the King James, it's thought to be C-L-O-A-K, an outer garment, that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee. Now, Troas is somewhat north of Ephesus. Somehow Timothy's got to get a hold of that. But he said, bring with thee and some books, especially the parchments. Then he mentions a man by the name of Alexander, the coppersmith that we don't know much about. Whatever we know about him is written right here. But he's evidently given Paul some problems, either in Rome or somewhere else, and he's either could possibly give Timothy problems in Rome, or he could be headed for Ephesus and give Timothy some problems. He says, of whom be thou, where also he hath greatly withstood our words. Note what's in a latter part of verse 14 that I didn't read. After saying that this man had did Paul much evil, he said, the Lord reward him according to his works. One writer said, now Paul's not going off on a tangent here and saying, the Lord have vengeance on him. He's just realizing that that's what his end will be. Of whom thou be thou wary also, for he hath greatly withstood our words, or stood against us, our preaching. Now Paul says something then in verses 16 through 18 about how really it was the Lord that was the only one that was standing by him. Look at 16 through 18. At my first answer, no man stood with me. So it would appear that if this is a second group of trials or whatever, he'd already appeared before whoever was making a judgment, and there was nobody to stand with him. He said, all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, he says, despite those that were with me not being willing, and this may not be really bad mouthing, because it'd be difficult to stand by somebody when you see that they're being tried and the trial's not going very well. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. What did the Lord do for you? He strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So he's going back not only during his present time, but also at earlier times when the Lord was with him. In verse 18 he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now he's got some greetings and some additional remarks to make. Salute Prisca and Aquila. That's Priscilla and Aquila. Remember, they were in Corinth with Paul, and they also stopped off in Ephesus and were teaching there. And he said, also the household of Onesiphorus. We've heard Onesiphorus, that's the way it's pronounced. Also, he says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Comment about that. Why would this man be left sick if Paul had the ability to heal? Well, Paul had the ability to heal, but what about Paul? It would appear that Paul had something that was wrong with him as far as his health. But he was not able to heal that either. There were certain purposes for which the healing powers were given, and in this case, it was not given Paul to heal this man. Verse 21 says, do thy diligence. This is back to Timothy on his trip there. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Don't get messed up like I did when we were making that trip to Rome, Paul might remember. That winter when they spent 3 months stranded on the island of Malta. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeted thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. So see, Paul's not totally alone. Even though when we saw that Luke was the only one maybe that was staying with him back in verse 11. And the way I would read it, it would appear from the King James that Paul's by himself except for Luke. But these others were around from time to time, evidently. But he wants Timothy to come there right away. It's thought that maybe these books and the parchments representing Old Testament copies of the Scriptures, and like they did, that Paul wanted, it doesn't say whether he's before the Roman tribunal. It doesn't indicate whether the Jews are the ones that are placing the charges. It's possible that he wanted, it's just conjecture, that he wanted these particular books of Old Testament Scripture, parchments, in order to help prove his case. Because with the Jews, you remember when Paul was was talking to the Jews that he called to him in Rome on his imprisonment mission in Acts 28, that he talked to them about how for the hope of Israel he was brought before, had gone to Rome. Because of the resurrection, he was brought to Rome. Because of the Messiah, the promised Messiah, and teaching that, he'd been brought to Rome. And so Paul gives some instructions. Like, it's possible that Timothy made it to Rome. We don't know. If he did not, it's possible that these were the last words of instruction, and probably were of in any detail, that were given to this young gospel preacher. And if Paul was not going to be around in the future, he would not have his mentor around to give him that encouragement when he would need it. So he would need to rely on this copy of this letter from Paul to help him in that regard. And if each person here of accountable age tonight is a Christian, and perhaps you need the prayers of the congregation on your behalf. If you do, we'd be glad to pray with you at this time. If there's one who needs to rededicate his or her life to Christ, you have that opportunity also tonight as we stand and sing the song selected.